school days. Fond memories, hard times. Kind teachers and strict ones. Loud laughter and tears. Frozen toilets and cold rooms. Warm welcomes, firm new friends. A village family. Not everyone enjoyed their days at Legburn Primary School, but the vast majority did, and remember those days with huge affection. The school closed in 1993, 130 years after its foundation stone was laid. It was cramped and it was cold, one large room, one small one. Radiators didn't come until the 1930s, and the water for them came from a tank that had to be filled by hand. The outside toilets were truly something else.
Originally there were earth closets, then later buckets. It was a long way round to the boys' closets, and the urinal was a trough open to the sky. Water toilets were installed in 1955, but still were outside round the back. During frosty weather, they often would not flush due to the cistern and the pipes being frozen, and buckets of water had to be carried round by the teacher.
A passage from 20th century Legburn and the voice of April Fixter. Those toilets weren't replaced until the late 1970s.
I'd never been on an outside toilet. That was a bit of a... especially when it was raining.
Bit of a shock to the system.
Yes.
In the girls' toilets, there was one toilet. There was absolutely no privacy because you all had to queue. So whoever was actually sat on the toilet used to talk to everybody else that was stood in the queue around them. And then we had Isle toilet paper, which some canny person worked out that if you scrunched it up and rubbed it in your hands quite a bit, it made it a bit softer so you could actually use it.
Diane Kingswood and Pip Malloy. Back in the early part of the century, outside loos and poor heating were far from being the only problem. Illness and disease often badly affected the school population. Outlined here by Jenny Cartwright.
Before vaccinations and inoculations, there were serious epidemics. Those mentioned in the logbooks were scarlet fever, mumps, ringworm, measles, German measles, scarlatina, whooping cough, shingles, meningitis, impetigo, chickenpox, diphtheria, tonsillitis, scabies, eczema, and influenza. They were all causes of poor attendance.
Some of those diseases had tragic consequences. Pupils as young as five died from diphtheria and consumption. The school sometimes closed for weeks on end during epidemics. There were other reasons for absence, though. The school log records older boys being away to go bush beating on shoots, and children going brambling for Mr. Fowler of Grimsby, and to attend a wild beast show in Louth. Even as late as the 1940s and 50s, older children would take extra time off to help with harvesting in the summer, as Vic Borrell and Hank Green recall.
You could do, especially, I think, in the Second World War, for picking taties. They could have time out and for other harvest jobs, yeah.
Well, in the summer months, yeah, which I suppose that's how maybe how the summer holidays came, or possibly call it, but basically it was to fit in with the agricultural side of things.
During the early part of the 40s, the school had to deal with frequent air raids and other wartime problems.
An ARP gas test was carried out this morning by officials from county headquarters. 23 children received permission from their parents to take part in the test by entering the van with gas masks on, filled with tear gas.
The former head teacher, the late Jean Mabelson, was a pupil at the school during the Second World War.
We sat for a while on seats at the side of the van. I was rather frightened, as I'd experienced a test in Louth Marketplace when my gas mask didn't work and my eyes streamed with tears. I had escaped into Woolworths where the gas had not penetrated. Luckily, at school, my gas mask worked.
It was a time when all children either walked or biked to school, even during the terrible winter of 1947, one of the two worst winters in living memory. Here's Hank Green and Margaret Holgarth.
There was public transport, but not to the extent anything like. So if you wanted to get anywhere, if you was lucky, you had a bike. If not, it was by foot.
So lots of children walked to school.
Oh, yeah, in all weathers, and some of them had a long way to come as well. I mean, when you're talking about people up in Atham Readings, which is top side of Cawthorpe there, people lived up there and all around the farms, dotted about.
Oh, yeah. There was no other way to get there. Even from Moncton, they came across the fields to Legburn.
Snowstorms raged for 2 months. There was a drastic fuel shortage. The few who managed to get in huddled in one room round a stove. But the overriding memories of those who've written about their time at the school and those still here to talk about it are warm ones. A fondly remembered time of a close-knit school family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We all knew each other. It was like an extended family, without a doubt. And, of course, when we weren't actually in school, we were all together out of school. So, you know, and, you know, back in those days, Legburn was a lot smaller than it is now. So you often found that you hung around with people 5 years older than you or even 5 years younger than you.
I felt very welcome very quickly. So the crying didn't last very long at all. The teachers, I remember, all being really, really kind. Mrs. Hurst in particular, she was my first teacher. She was always on the piano, playing the piano every single day. She'd be on the piano. And I always remember her high ponytail swinging along as she was playing the piano.
It was like being in somebody's front room, really, learning in that environment. And it had a really, really close feel. And I mean, I'm still in touch with so many of the people I went to school with. I mean, we all went off and did our separate things.
Richard Moss, Alex Sturman and Lucy Parkinson. Firm friends were made very quickly and kept.
Within, I think, a few weeks of being at the school, we just made friends. And there was friends 5 years younger than you, 5 years older than you. There wasn't... Everybody muddled in together and played together, boys and girls. I mean, I had great lad friends growing up in the village.
Yeah, I made loads of friends, even though the class sizes were obviously very small. I think there were only four people in my year group, but I do still keep in touch with those people. So it's really nice. And also, the majority of the people at the school lived in the village, so we could play together outside of school.
Joe Goldby and Alex Sturman again. The Moss family moved from Louth to Legburn when their son Richard was 7, and he really didn't want to move. It ruined his life for about a day.
I'd had my little gang of mates, and all of a sudden it's like we're moving. My world fell apart. I couldn't believe it. But within probably 2 weeks of moving to Legburn, I'd forgotten all about that, and I'd moved on, and I had new friends. I always remember starting Legburn school. I remember my first day. And by the end of the day, I felt like I had 20 friends.
Alex Sturman's first day was almost ruined by her mother.
My mum dressed me in my sister's old uniform from her previous school in Northampton. And it was a brown uniform with a kipper tie. And nobody else had a uniform on but me. And in I went. And I think I can remember her going round the shop and me crying at the gate because I saw her go past.
The close family feel made a deep impression on teachers too. Jill Day was a favourite during her time at the school in the 1970s and 80s.
Oh, it definitely had a family feel. Lots of children. You'd have the same family with the youngster in the small room, and you might have three children from the same family all in the same building. They all learnt from one another. Because you had these mixed age groups, the children could almost see where they were going. I think everybody knew everybody. That was the thing. That was the family. It was a village family. And everybody would have known everybody.
A village family it might have been, but not everyone shared such warm feelings about school days in Legburn. Colin Crust, for one.
No, I didn't like school.
Why?
Well, everything. It was all blooming sports, and PT. They didn't know no else. Oh, whoopee. It wasn't whoopee for us.
Sports day was a special nightmare, to be avoided at all costs.
If I have to go, I'm going to play truant. I'm not having that all day. The bus used to come on the planting side. When we heard that bus coming, we run away, stopped in the gatehole, then run right up to the church. We'd miss the bus. We knew we had. We can't go today, Dad. We had missed the bus on purpose.
Things didn't improve when Colin and his best friend Vic Borrell moved on to Monk's Dyke in Louth. The black cloud of sport still loomed large.
We didn't like it, really. We made the best on it, but sports day and, you know, they've got four or five lessons in an afternoon, sport and whatever. Crust and Borrell in so-and-so's team. They all shouted, "Oh, no, sir, they didn't want us, did they?"
No, I didn't want them.
Exactly, neither did I. Running it after a ball doesn't make sense, does it? No, to see for it.
Legbon was a small and cramped school in its very early days, but at one time there were as many as 100 children on the roll. Just after the war it dropped to as low as 20, but by the time Jill Day arrived to teach and Pip Molloy was a pupil, it had settled to around the 50 mark. It was a question of making do.
The big classroom was divided into two, and I was to take the 7 to 9 year old children one end of the room, and the head teacher, Mrs. Mabelson, would take the older children the other end of the room. And then the infant teacher, Mrs. Williams, she was in the small room.
You had a nickname for it.
I called it a rat hole.
We didn't really have classes. We had, like, there were 52 of us in the whole school, but there were just the two different school rooms. There was the infants and then the juniors.
52. Even smaller than what I went to. I thought that was small enough. At Ravenhill, there were 80 there.
Yeah, but we all went to each other's birthday parties, so it was absolutely fine.
Space and facilities did improve. An extra classroom arrived in the late 70s and a new toilet block, and another new classroom in the late 80s. 4 years before the old school closed. The start of the school day has changed very little over the years. Strange, isn't it, that you can't remember the title of the song you just heard on the radio, but you can always remember those assembly hymns.
We did prayers in the morning. You know, if you weren't there in time, you got locked out and had to wait to go in for assembly. And we always had a good song in the morning. I can remember my classmates Martin Willoughby and A.D. Lovely and Nicola Craig, and we all had to stand there in the morning and sing Onward Christian Soldiers and Morning Has Broken and Glad That I Live Am I. Yeah, and it was wonderful.
I suppose that's a bit like remembering the games and sports you played, but not necessarily the lessons, at least not the ones you were good at.
Definitely not the mental arithmetic. Or there was a scheme called SRA, which was a reading comprehension scheme. And we used to do it every Wednesday when we'd been swimming. And then we used to get back and I'd dread it because it would be SRA and we'd have to do reading comprehension. And that definitely wasn't my favourite.
Most of them, even outside the basics like reading, writing and arithmetic, in one form or another, would still be familiar to children.
It's quite traditional how we learnt in those days. So we'd do mental arithmetic in the mornings. We would do reading in the afternoons. Then the boys would go out for football and the girls would do sewing. I mean, now it would not be like that anymore. You wouldn't, you know, the boys actually did balsa wood. I remember that and being really jealous that they got to make little balsa wood models and we had to do embroidery.
Mrs. Mabelson was a good teacher, really. We used to do singing, she used to play the piano. On a Friday, the vicar would come to do Bible study or whatever he was reading at the Bible or something. We had to follow it. Geography and history and made things for Christmas, decorations, paper chains, you know, and deck them out in the classroom.
When you got up into the junior side, you had to learn to write cursive writing and you had to write with an ink pen, so either from the inkwell or with a cartridge in the end. So when I went to secondary school, it was wonderful to use a biro.
Lucy Parkinson, Myra Marsh and Karen Foxon. Victoria Cass is the acting executive head at the successor to the old school, East Wold Primary.
Over the last few years, we've gone back to talking about arithmetic, which obviously is something you would have found on the timetables of the old school. But even under different names, we'll still do our reading and our writing. You know, sort of the three R's as it would have been known, wouldn't it, of reading, writing and arithmetic. And then some of those other subjects may fall under different headings now but might look similar.
But not drill?
Definitely not drill, no. We do line up in the morning to come in, but we certainly don't make them come in drill style.
The big difference, she says, is how it's all taught.
If you walked in the classroom sort of in the past, you maybe would have expected it to be silent, and that's not how we tend to work now. It's very much sort of led by the children. There's a lot of, sort of partner work, working together, you know, really trying to encourage them to have those deep conversations about their learning. it's not very often that anything would be learnt by rote. Yeah, it's very much about exploring their own learning and sort of following their own path with it as well.
It's strange what stands out in the memory. The smell of the polish on the desks themselves. And you're all too young to remember inkwells, surely.
Yeah, you always stuck your fingers in them, didn't you? Because it was always fun to do. But as the years went on, we did progress to pens and everything. But no, the ink pots were definitely there at the beginning. And you had your own desk and you had your own books in it and you never moved away from that desk.
It seemed old-fashioned to me nowadays, the old-fashioned desks, you know, but they're a good angle to write on, much better than these flat desks they have now, I think.
Inkwell in your desktop. And I've got a desk outside there. And I should imagine it's from Legman School. And I should have looked after it a bit better.
Sadly, I can remember inkwells and the inky fingers. The voice you haven't heard so far there was the second one, Enid Borrell. Religion played a fair-sized part in the weekly schedule. It holds a similar place in Jeff Wright's memory to dentist visits.
The dentist used to come round every so often. My memories was... there was a bit on the rough side. I can remember. I don't know why I remember it, but a chap came round asking questions on the Bible. There's quite a few of us didn't really know a lot about that. He really got cross. He really did get cross. I remember you stood there hoping that he won't go ask you a question.
Whether or not children remember what they did on the academic side, they can always remember the games they played. Especially rounders.
If it had been wet, we weren't allowed to go on the grass. So every time, if Mrs. Mabelson used to come out of the door of the school and we all used to just stand and wait and watch, and she'd walk up to the grassy area and touch it. And if she said yes, we were like, yes! And we used to all cheer and run round onto the grass.
We used to walk, just a few minutes walk, through the churchyard and into the Tinkler's garden. We used to play rounders and use their garden because it was such a big garden.
If the weather was really good and Mrs. Mabelson was feeling remarkably kind, she'd be like, right, okay, we'll play rounders. So we all kind of trooped round through the churchyard and played rounders in this garden. And the best bit was if anybody hit a rounder over the fence here, they'd say, Lucy, can you go and get the ball because it's in your garden? And it made me feel very important having to go round and collect the ball from round here.
I absolutely love that. We used to love it. And often when we used to play in the playground, because we were so near the church, if there was a funeral on, we weren't allowed to go out and play. Because the last thing you wanted at a funeral was a load of kids screaming and shouting. If there was a funeral, no play.
Funerals allowing, the imagination knew no bounds when it came to games.
We used to play a game called BB, and you had to run from one wall to the other wall without somebody in the middle catching you.
Fighting?
No. Occasionally a fight would break out with one of the boys. We used to love it when they had the tantrum, you know. It was marvellous. They used to throw inkwells and all sorts of things.
And skipping?
Oh, yes, skipping ropes, my word, yes. With two on each end and turning for people, or we have individual ropes.
We used to play kiss-catch, obviously, because that's a stalwart at school, isn't it? What time is it, Mr. Wolf, when you had to creep up on each other?
Remind me what kiss-catch was.
I only ever watched from the side, obviously, but basically...
Of course you
You used to... Somebody was chosen as it. And so there was a girls' team and a boys' team, and then whoever was the girl had to run after one of the boys until they managed to catch hold of them and kiss them. And then it then turned into the boys' part of the game when he had to run around and kiss one of the girls. It probably sounds very unethical and probably illegal in these days, but it was great.
Maypole dancing hardly qualifies as a game. But as Jill Day recalls, it played a very important part in the life of the school during Jean Mabelson's reign as head.
I don't know whether you remember when the government decided we'd have a May Day bank holiday. Well, Mrs. Mabelson didn't agree with it. And we were not going to have the day off. She organised a May Day day with the Maypole, and everybody had to come to school. Mrs. Williams and I were a bit put out by having not getting a day off, but anyway, Mrs. Mabelson wasn't going to have any of it.
The children, of course, loved it, especially the girls.
I think we used to have to do it once a week or something, but it was good fun. And I think it's old school and people really used to get involved with it and enjoy it. I'm not sure the boys did so much. Maybe one or two liked it.
And it meant dressing up, didn't it? For the May Queen crowning. Lucy Parkinson and Joe Golby again.
She was really into all the celebrations. So we would always, big nativities at the church. They were always really lovely. I think I was the innkeeper's wife. I never got a starring role. Always wanted to be Mary. Never got Mary.
But you did become a star, though, didn't you? You mentioned Maypole.
Yes, well, I was the May Queen, which was a very big honour in 1984.
It was a freezing cold day, and the oldest lady in the village came out and put the crown on my head, and it was absolutely freezing. And I had a dress that my nana made, and I'm sure it was made out of a tablecloth.
Another little custom that stands out for many was the birthday celebrations.
When it was your birthday, you had to stand on the chair in front of the whole school and have your birthday bumps or your birthday smacks. Yeah, the birthday smacks. So however old you were, you got that many smacks on your bottom in the morning. Which, different world.
When it was our birthdays, we used to have to stand up in her chair. The children would all sing happy birthday to us. And then she would tap us on the legs or the bottom or the head. Well, I mean, you wouldn't do that these days, would you? I mean, for heaven's sake, you know.
Nerve-wracking moments live long in the memory, like the time Richard Moss had to sing a solo at a Christmas concert in the church.
I always remember when I finished singing, it was such a weight off my shoulders. And then when we left, it had been snowing. Pretty much everybody that was in the church got involved in a snowball fight.
Is there a recording of that?
I am led to believe that Mrs. Mabelson did have a video recording of it, and when she passed away, I was told that one of the villagers had been given this tape, so I'm very keen to see it if it does, but it would be in a dark room and then set fire to it afterwards with no one else watching it.
Not if I get to it first.
We'll discuss that nearer the time.
If anyone does happen to have that recording, just give me the nod. There could be a few drinks in it. All that energy, concentration, charging about and stress worked up an appetite. Hot dinners were delivered to the school until 1981.
Well, the dinners were supplied every day. I think they came from Louth, from a big kitchen. They were brought in metal containers. Most children stayed for lunch.
Sometimes it was absolutely wonderful, like roast beef and roast potatoes and vegetables, and then on the alternative days it was things like liver, which was the cheapest liver that I think anybody could ever buy, which had, we used to call it, rubber bands around the outside, which was absolutely disgusting. But if you kept in with Mrs. Coggle and Mrs. Moore, then you'd get extra roast potatoes.
The two dinner ladies was Mrs. Coggle and Mrs. Ward, that was mother and daughter, and they would serve the dinners up about 12 o'clock. One thing I didn't like was liver and bacon. I could not stand this liver and bacon. I love mince with fried bread and mashed potatoes and vegetables. And the pudding, well, it was called lemon love. And it was sort of like a pastry with a sponge and lemon curd. It was lovely.
When you was in your last year at primary school, it was wonderful, as you thought it was really important, because the girls were allowed to put the tables out, set the tables up, and help serve the dinner out, and you got yours last, but you thought yours really important.
There was a downside. Even the dinners you didn't like, you still had to eat.
Mrs. Mabels would make you eat them. And I could always remember one girl, that it was rice pudding, and she just hated rice pudding. And she sat there, Mrs. Mabels made her eat this rice pudding, and she cried and cried and cried.
And for Karen Foxon, watching a friend having to eat Bakewell tart had a lifelong knock-on effect on her and on her future husband.
I've never touched it since. I found out a couple of years ago that my husband's ultimate favourite pudding is Bakewell tart. I didn't know this. I didn't know it was his favourite food. He'd never told me what his favourite pudding was.
So you deprived him of his favourite pudding for 35 years.
Yeah, I still deprive him of it because I won't make it.
The overall view of the school, as I've said, is a very fond one. The head teacher who guided it through its last 33 years was the late Jean Mabelson, who was and is a school legend. She was strict but good-hearted, a great head, but sometimes seen as inflexible in changing times.
She was quite fierce and a little bit scary, loved sewing, and I wasn't very good at sewing, unfortunately.
Although she was a very strict lady, she had a heart of gold, really. Every child left there having done their best. And I still meet children in the town. They've all done well.
There was more involvement. Parents wanted more. A lot of new parents. I was one coming into the village. They wanted to see changes. Mrs. Mabelson, a great head teacher, but very old school. New parents were becoming more aware of things like national curriculums and whether their children were being taught in a way that would meet those standards. But it was a totally different culture. It was very old school, if you like, but very good in that respect, but not very flexible. But it was good, and I had the greatest respect for Mrs. Mabelson. She was a good teacher. Both my daughters had a great education there.
Alex Sturman, Jill Day, and the former chairman of the Parent Teachers Association, Phil Sturman. Times did change, and the national curriculum came in. But some things about old school ways, says Jill Day, were missed.
If a child had brought anything into school to show, we could stop and look at it and talk about it. It might even produce a lovely lesson. But today, I don't think that would be encouraged, because you've got to stick to your curriculum. We could do a spur of the moment, yes.
Here in the present, the new school, East Wold, has a partner school at Cockerington and caters for several surrounding villages. It has light and space and great facilities. It had in recent times, though, slipped in the ratings and in pupil numbers, and people felt it had drifted away from the community it sits in. But change is afoot. The acting executive head, Victoria Cass, is rebuilding links.
I've heard that said as well myself, and I think where we are at the moment, we've spent a lot of time recently really trying to build that again. For me, as a head, it's the sort of the heart of the community, and it's important that we still have those links. So we will, you know, we'll go to the church and we'll liaise with the nurseries and invite them round so that people know that we are open, we're welcome, we're friendly, and sort of really building that village school feeling back again.
And all the hard work, she says, is paying dividends.
We had some events on over Christmas, and the feedback, certainly from parents and grandparents that came, were very positive. You know, reports about what a happy school they are and how lovely it is to see the children out in the community when we go on our walks and things. So really noticing now that connection coming back. Now, I know what we're doing in school is really good. You know, I go around and see what the teachers are doing, and I'm really happy with the way things are going. So we can just continue to build that positive reputation, and I have no doubt that we'll start to build those numbers again. I like to achieve what I set my mind on, and I know, you know, what a fantastic school this is and has been, and want to make sure we're back to our very best again. So definitely optimistic, but I'd like to think that's realistic as well.
Village Voices will be going back to school at East Wold for a future programme in the summer. You've been listening to The Best Days of Our Lives. Coming soon, Our Farming Life.